This last part of the four sections is going to be devoted exclusively to the rest of the servant song, because it's so powerful, okay? Just look at the way it begins. There, as we move to this new section, okay, which is verse 6. See, and it says, "Yet it was our pain that he bore, our sufferings that he endured." This is the mystery of vicarious suffering. You see? And some commentators say, well, there's no place in the Bible for that, for the Old Testament. There is. There is. Besides the fact that Israel's suffering is itself a servant. Even if they're suffering for their own sins, it's still a servant function. Okay. It was our pain that he bore, our sufferings he endured. We thought of him as stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. Look at that poor guy. We didn't realize all we see in him is the ugliness of our sin. He's carrying it. Okay? Goes on to say that. He was pierced for our sins, crushed for our iniquity. He bore the punishment that makes us whole. And by his wounds we were healed. That text, that last line, in Matthew, I think it's chapter 8, verse 16, but I don't have time to check it out. But he's talking about Jesus' healing ministry. And he quotes this. Jesus' healing ministry comes from his passion. All the power, anticipated passion. And so, by his wounds we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, all following our own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Now, how does that work? How can that happen? I sin and you carry it. How does that work? Well, you have to accept it or it wouldn't happen. But how can you carry my guilt, my sin? You see? Well, Christ does it because he is the incarnation in one man, but related to every human being who ever lived. But in our own way, we can do it too. How many of the great saints of our day, Therese, I give myself to you as a victim to your merciful love. Let it just eat me up, tear me up, burn me up, but get out through me to the world. Now, why is that? Because even a guy 200 years ago in Iran is bound to me and I to him because we have one man, the Christ. And some of us are joined to that one man, even physically, by baptism and by the Eucharist. And his spirit dwells in us. But there's one man, and we can carry that sin. This is very important, very important. There are so many housewives in this world, you know, and they're home all day or a lot of the day, and they've got children to raise, and they get sick, and, you know, or they have a husband that's not too great. They are carrying the pain of maybe 500, 1,000, 2,000 women who don't know Christ, or in India, or Vietnam, or Pakistan, or wherever. They are carrying that. Now, I'm not a mystic, but I got to tell you this. The Lord impressed that on me when I was 20 years old. Before I really got understood the Trinity, don't understand it yet, but at least understand what it's about, or the Eucharist, the thing I was sure of was this, that if I was like a chain in a mud puddle, And God reached down and picked up one link, me, could have been anybody. The higher he raises that link out of that mud puddle, the more other links are out. He had to give me kind of a dumb image so I'd get it. I said, well, keep on pulling, God. Pull. If I complain, pull anyway. Keep on pulling. All these other people are going to get out. But there are so many beloved Christians who are carrying the weight of other people. When you're baptized, you have the weight of the world on your back. That's what happens when you're baptized. So, this notion that when we're suffering, you see, is not just for ourselves. We're carrying people all over the world. There's a mystery, you see. And this mystery was intuited and grasped that even Israel, already one nation, one flesh, in that sense, there was someone there whom God designated as an intercessor and a victim to win pardon. You see, though harshly treated, he submitted and did not open his mouth. This is Jeremiah, remember. I was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and I did not open my mouth. Like a lamb, this text, like a lamb led to slaughter, or a sheep silent before shearers, he did not open his mouth. And there's a footnote in my Bible, and I'm sure it's to the text in Jeremiah. Seized and condemned, he was taken away. Who would have thought any more of his destiny? Poor guy. They're going to get a hold of him, torture him, and kill him. And it's going to be the end of him. Oh, no. Oh, no. Already we're going to see this mystery, this foreshadowing of Christ, okay? For he was cut off from the land of the living, struck for the sins of his people. Now, as I say, you know, we have this notion. Where is my... Here they are. No, that's not them. Yeah, here they are. There are examples of Moses' intercession. And here's the one here. Moses said to the people, you have sinned the great sin. The great sin is adultery. And we know that from other extra-biblical texts. You've just committed adultery with God. He married you. And now you've gone off and played the adulteress. Hahata Hagudola, the great sin. It's also found in the book of Kings when they make the golden calf. The author says they committed the great sin. They turned from Adonai. Okay? And so, and now I will go up to Adonai. Perhaps I can make atonement on your behalf for your sin. You hear it? I wonder how... Oh, I don't have the... Well, I could get it. Exodus 32:30. If I can find it quickly, because I don't have a lot of time. Exodus 32. The text, you see, you could take these texts in a lot of different ways. But if you know where they're really going, it helps a lot. Yeah. Now I'll go up to the Lord. Perhaps I will be able to make atonement. I didn't dare go that far looking at my Hebrew text, but it's the word. You see? What is the Day of Atonement called in Hebrew? Yom Kippur, right? The verb is Kippur, or para, like kapara. It says, ulai akapara. You hear Kippur in there? I will be the atonement sacrifice. And so, maybe I can be the atonement for you. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, ah, this people has committed a grave sin. And that's the great sin again, ha-ta-ha-gudala. They have committed the great sin radical infidelity, making a god of gold for themselves. Now, if you would only forgive their sins, but if you will not, then blot me out of the book that you have written. Who's that? That's Jesus. Father, if you're going to blot them out, blot me out too. That, see, when he was baptized, you shouldn't be baptized. You're not a sinner. He said, look, forget that. I'm part of a sinful people. I carry their sin. Baptize me. Then I'm ready for my mission as the servant of Yahweh. And so, blot me out. The Lord answered Moses, only the one who has sinned against me will I blot out of my book. Now go and lead the people where I have told you. See, my angel will go before you. When it is time for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin. But you see, I want to be the kippur or the kipporet. Just blot me out. You know, Jesus, that's why, my God, why have you abandoned me? No, but he, at the tip of his spirit, he always knew the Father. So it's wrong to say that he didn't. But Balthazar goes too far. But the whole rest of his being, I think I read a few weeks ago a text from St. Therese saying, I understand what Jesus was going through. I am in total darkness. I can even doubt there's a God. And yet at the tip of my spirit, I know joy. And so, here we're back at our text now. He was given a grave among the wicked, a burial place with evilers, though he had done no wrong, there was deceit found in his mouth. But it was the Lord's will to crush him with pain by making his life a reparation offering. You hear it again? Now, where is my text? We're down, we're in 10. Where is verse 10? Hard time finding this stuff. Ah, here it is. I just want to check. Did I skip this? No, here it comes now. He shall see his offspring, shall see length of days, and the Lord's will shall be accomplished through him. The Lord's will. Salvation. Because of his anguish, he shall... Now, the Hebrew text is interesting. It says, he shall see. The Greek text puts in a word that must have been in their Hebrew text, or. He shall see the light. In other words, he'll be raised. He shall see, and they put it because it fits. It was probably left out of this text. Shall see the light. Because of his knowledge, he shall be content. My servant, Hasadik, the just one, shall justify the many. Because he is Sadik, he can make Sadik the many. The many shed for you and the many. We're going to have this liturgy change. I'm running late, but, you know, we're going to, probably think we're going back to shed for all, to shed for the many. Which is the many? It's this many. You can be part of this many anytime you want. Just accept it. It's not a many that's an exclusive club, but it's the many. Harabim. Okay? Is that clear? Because we have to explain this to people. Okay. He shall divide the spoils with the money. Because he surrendered himself to death, was counted among the transgressors, bore the sins of many, and interceded again for their transgressions, or for the transgressors. Amen.